For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Today's episode is the first of a few episodes about reality TV. I don't know if you all know, but this season of Survivor and this season of Deal or No Deal Island both feature a person who stutters. So we're going to drop a few additional episodes to highlight those episodes and contestants. So this is a recap episode about Survivor season 48, episode 3, featuring Mitch, a person who stutters. Look out for our episode with Philip, who competed on Deal or No Deal Island. And before we get into the recap of the Survivor episode, I just wanted to give a few reminders about upcoming events. We have one in Chicago at Northwestern University happening on April 9th at 6:30. You can find out more about that event at proudstutter.org/events. We also have an event coming up with California Film on May 8th featuring documentaries on stuttering. And we're going to have a ton more events happening throughout the year. So be sure to monitor proudstutter.org/events. And the last thing I wanted to say is we are currently fundraising to complete production of our film. So this is a great opportunity to support our film. You can head over to proudstutter.org and click the donate button. We really are going to need as much support as possible to get this film finished. So yeah, if you want to help us out, you can hit that donate button. And yeah, without further ado, here's our episode featuring two very special guests. I'm Maya Chubkov, and I'm a woman who stutters. Welcome to Proud Stutter, a show about stuttering and embracing verbal diversity in an effort to change how we talk about it, one conversation at a time. Welcome back to Proud Stutter. I'm your host, Maya Chubkov. Today, we're having a really unique episode. We're actually going to be recapping season 48, episode 3 of Survivor. And I have two amazing guests with me to talk all things Survivor and stuttering. And that is Elliot Goldstein, who is a friend of mine, friend of the pod. That name might sound familiar to you because he was really essential in making our event in Los Angeles super successful. And he's been helping me ever since with events around Proud Stutter and just helping out in so many different ways. So really, like, I don't think like we'd be as far along on our events journey without Elliot. So Elliot, thank you for being here to talk about Survivor.
Thank you. This is an absolute pleasure. First of all, as always, and this got me to finally watch an episode of Survivor, which I hadn't seen before. So, you know, doubly so, this is awesome. And I watched it for the first time last night with my wife. We loved it. And I might be hooked. Who knows?
Woo! Yay! Spreading the Survivor fandom. And our next guest is one of my best friends from way back in like third grade, Caitlin Dietz. Me and Caitlin grew up together. And me and Caitlin are both fans of Survivor. Caitlin, I actually wasn't going to watch this season because sometimes I skip a season, but Caitlin texted me on the on the opening episode and said that there's a person who stutters on Survivor, and I was just like, oh my god, like I need to watch this season. So Caitlin, thank you for that, and thank you for being on Proud Stutter. Welcome.
Thank you. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to be here.
Yay. All right, so let's dive right in. But before we talk about Survivor, I just want to talk a little bit with Caitlin, because she's known me a long time, and I feel like, you know, I've come out publicly as a person who stutters, but I always like to have conversations about my stutter with people who've known me a long time, and, you know, we've chatted about this before, but yeah, I guess when you were watching the episode and like saw that Mitch was a stutter, like what was going through your head? And
when Mitch came on the screen, I immediately thought of you. I was like, oh my god, this is so cool. Maya's gonna love this. I have to text her immediately. She needs to watch the season. I was so excited to see the representation in media. 48 seasons of Survivor, and there hasn't been anyone with a speech impediment. So I thought that was really cool just as a whole. And then representation in media is so terrible. There's not a lot of representation in media. And so it was really cool to see that, and in a positive light too. So I was just overall super stoked to see Mitch on the season and also just killing it too. He's awesome.
And as far as like my stutter growing up, when do you like remember me stuttering, just looking back through like elementary, middle school, and high school? Like what was it something you noticed? Or yeah, I'm just curious what your after you kind of saw me come out publicly as a person who stutters, because I don't think we ever talked about it, but before that we might yeah, which is crazy.
Growing up, I knew you had a stutter, but it wasn't anything that was top of mind or anything that I didn't really think about it. Like it was just you. And when you came out publicly with your stutter, I was like, oh, cool. Yes, this is awesome. And then I started hearing your story and how it was a struggle for you. And I was like, oh no, I felt really bad at first. I was like, I didn't know how much you struggled. And I wish that I asked you about it as a kid. I don't recall doing that ever. I don't know if you remember that, but I certainly don't. I think that, you know, I just remember things about you, like how we were goofy together and how, you know, like we would make home films together. And I'm like, oh, you being a filmmaker now, that tracks. And your drive and how you were always so determined, and like anything you put your mind to, you would accomplish it. Like you were in student council, you had tons of internships, every job you had, I was cheering you on every step of the way. And it was always just so impressive to see your drive and your curiosity. It was always so cool. So like, I knew your stutter was a part of you, but it didn't stand out to me at all. Like I knew that was you, that was just a part of you. And so, you know, it was just you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And yeah, I think I had such a go-getter attitude. I think in hindsight, looking back, I think I just never wanted my stutter to get in the way of anything. And so I kind of like overcompensated a lot and like kind of took extra steps to like make sure that my stutter wouldn't hinder me. So yeah. That's interesting that you say all that. And I'm wondering, Elliot, have you had like just hearing from Caitlin, I'm wondering, like, have you had similar conversations with your friends and if like anything resonated with you on what Caitlin was saying?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, my childhood friends, I wouldn't say, I mean, first of all, I don't have as much of a public persona as, you know, you do. So I wouldn't say that like the public knows me as someone who stutters. My close friends and family do. So everyone that I grew up with knows, but it's not something that I ever truly like announced. I think like, you know, Caitlin was saying, I'm assuming from their perspective that it was, you know, obvious that I had a non-standard way of speaking and, you know, there were more pauses. And I think the kind of stutter that I have, it leans more towards having blocks. So I think oftentimes since it's not talked about and we don't talk about it, maybe someone doesn't know that that is a stutter because it's not the like repetition or what you traditionally see in media. But yeah, I would say that that resonates. And then one thing that I want to say about, you know, what Caitlin was saying and what you were saying about your ambition and drive that really came to mind was that I think having a stutter, you naturally doubt, like when you see something that you might want to do, you're like, oh, I don't know if I can do that because of my stutter. So it becomes like everything is almost in relation to having a stutter, and it becomes a challenge, and this like internal switch turns on and you're like, okay, now I have to do that because it's now a, you know, challenge for myself.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I could get more into that, but I really want to turn it over just to Survivor because Elliot, I like for that being your first episode, that was like one of the most unprecedented tribal councils ever after like,
oh, wow.
Yeah, like, so I think the first episode of Survivor was in 2000, right? Yeah, and it's 2025. So yeah. 25 years of Survivor, that's never happened. So you really got the full experience.
That's crazy. And yeah, I think it is really funny that I am on this recap episode as someone who like has never seen an episode before because Julie and I were watching it and we're like, what's an idol? What is a shot in the dark? What is, like, we're trying to figure out the rules of Survivor as we're watching it from this one episode. So it was really funny. And yeah, I had no idea until Jeff said, I think in the tribal council, he was like, yeah, this has never happened before. We're like, oh, interesting. This...
You're like, what? I don't know
what's happening. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I do have a question though. Has Jeff hosted every season?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
He's an icon. He's a legend. He's the GOAT.
I can see. I mean, because for 48 seasons, for him to like be that enthusiastic and that much of like a charismatic host still is crazy.
Yeah. He's really like the cool. best host, I think. Like, I watch a lot of. A lot of competition shows, and he's definitely the top one, I think, out of all of them. He's just, yeah, he's great. But yeah, I'm wondering, Caitlin, like, what do you think of the season so far, and like, who are your favorites?
Oh, it's such a good season so far. Oh my gosh, a lot happening, and it's only three episodes in. But I would say, obviously, Mitch, he's a fan favorite. He is doing so amazing. He's definitely one of my favorites. I also love Joe. I just want to give Joe a big hug. I think he's so lovely. And I love his relationship with Eva. I think it's so wholesome. their relationship together. They're so just so sweet. And I love how he like took on a father figure basically and is like looking after her. So I think those three are definitely my top faves. What about you?
I like Mitch for sure. And I thought it was interesting as like some of the tribe mates looked at, is it Eva or Ava?
Oh, it might be. Yeah, I might have messed up.
I'm not sure. Sorry, Ava, if you're listening. But okay, so I'm going to say Ava and Joe. I think people looked at their relationship as a threat because they saw how much they were like bonded. So who knows how that's going to play out, but just something to keep our eyes on.
We got to clock that for sure.
Yeah. But I think Ava, Mitch, and then the woman, what was her name? The one, Mary from Vula.
Oh, Mary.
I love her. Mary. She is so entertaining. So Elliot, Mary's the one, if you recall, that was trying to find the idol and running around.
Yes. And then she used her shot in the dark.
Yes. Epic. Like, it's rare that the shot in the dark actually works. So.
And so what is it? So it's like, it's a 1 in 6 chance that you are safe at tribal council?
Yeah. And you lose your vote. So if you play your shot in the dark, which you can only do once in the entire game, and you lose your vote, and you have a 1 in 6 shot of being safe. So so only people who are like desperate use it, and she definitely used it at the right time. I'm just rooting for her mostly because she's just so entertaining to watch.
She's so funny, and her attitude with Say chasing her and how she was saying that she's just having fun and that it's a game for her. I think anyone else in that situation would be so incredibly stressed, but she just kind of like let it go and was just like, let's just have fun. You know, it's a game after everything. It's a game. And I love her outlook about it.
Yeah. I also really liked the mind games that she was playing towards the like latter half of the episode where she was just like swimming in the water. And I was like, this is perfect.
Like, her and Say clash so much. I love it. I cannot wait to see them unravel during the merge. It's going to just be chaos. They're just going to, I predict that they're just going to like, just, you know, like basically separate and just try to like go against each other during the merge.
Oh my gosh. Who knows? They might also cling to each other because there's only a few of their tribe left. So they might end up on the same one again. They might, you know, have each other's back. Who, like, truly, who knows?
So I was on Reddit last night and someone, so I guess Mary posted a Instagram something, and then she deleted it after, but someone saved it, and she said that that they edited out a lot in that episode, and one of the things Mary did was she rolled a leaf so it looked like a hidden immunity idol and put it in her like in her shorts to show that like she had something.
Wow.
And Say kept asking her like, oh, what's in your pocket? What's in your pocket? And she said, she said, oh, it's nothing. And Say actually like went into her shorts and like pulled it out, and they edited that out. So So that makes me think that they're probably, I just think there's more animosity in their relationship than they're letting on. And so that makes me think like, I just think from that video that there's no, because that would really rub me the wrong way if that happened.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's going to be a messy relationship, but who knows? Maybe they'll be able to put emotions aside and be like, hey, let's just do this. So anyway. But yeah, I I want to talk about Mitch, but before we get into this episode, I just want to talk about, I know this happened in season two, but challenge. Oh yeah, episode two, where Jeff asked Mitch a question and Mitch was stuttering, and Jeff asked Mitch, like, we can see that you're struggling. Like, how do you want us to support you, or something like that? And then it really allowed Mitch to like talk about, like, just hang in there for me and let me say what I want to say. And everyone was like nodding, and it was just such a beautiful moment, because I feel like it really educated the viewers and it educated the tribe. So now it's like there's a more sense of comfort that like everyone kind of knows like how Mitch wants to kind of be approached about his stuttering. So I thought it was beautiful and wanted to see what you guys thought.
So I didn't watch that episode, but I have seen that clip multiple times because it's been circulating on you know, even on like LinkedIn or on your social media and things like that. And I thought it was great. So I guess my first thought is, like, I've never had a single person in my entire life ask me what Jeff asked Mitch. So, I mean, like, that's truly how, like, special that is. I don't know if anyone's ever, you know, asked you that. But I think people naturally want to help, or their instincts might be to, like, not draw attention to it, because they have good intentions, whatever the case may be. But yeah, I agree. I thought it was really, really special and a beautiful moment. And I really, really like the way Mitch reacted to it, because, you know, I think oftentimes I could tell from what I've seen that he has like the kind of persona that I think is just like, I don't know. He just seems really positive and optimistic sort of person. Cause I think maybe even myself, oftentimes, you know, there's a bit of defensiveness there, or it can turn into anger. But like with Mitch, it was truly like, thank gratitude that Jeff asked him that. And, you know, I thought it was handled beautifully on both sides of that, of the question.
Oh, I was just gonna say I didn't think about how that can put someone on the spot too, potentially. So I'm curious if they talked to Mitch about it before, you know, asking if he would be open to talking about his stutter and, you know, questions about his stutter, and if he's comfortable talking about it. But yeah, he's so incredibly positive and upbeat, and everyone seems to love him and his personality, and he's such a team player. And that moment right there, that made me cry truly, because it was such a beautiful moment. And the support that he was getting from the tribe too, like you said, Maya, it was so great, and it was so lovely. And like you just like can't help but root for him even more now.
100%. Yeah, I was like, I can't think of a, you know, better representative for the stuttering community than Mitch. Someone who's optimistic, someone who is positive, and yeah. So I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, and I gotta just give a huge kudos and shout out to Jeff, who's one of the producers of Survivor, and like the producer team, because that was a very intentional thing that they included. It's the producers that have the power to like put moments like that inside an episode. And so I just want to give a huge shout out to the producers. And I'm hoping that we'll see more moments like that as the season goes on, because just kind of going back to the recent season, we didn't really hear Mitch stutter as much. I thought we had like a great moment with Mitch when he was like trying to talk a game on the boat with Kyle. Like, I really enjoyed that. And I think what was interesting to me is, like, I don't know if this is Mitch's story, but I can imagine maybe like Mitch is still getting comfortable with the tribe and maybe him not talking a game or something. I don't know. I'm just wondering like how his stutter is showing up when it comes to like building relationships and talking game to people. Cause Kyle did say that Mitch was not talking game to him. And so, yeah, I'm wondering if that has any, like if his stutter has come into play about any of that, because I know sometimes when I'm with new people, I might not want to talk as much. But I do think at the same time, like Mitch seems like he's really trying to represent stuttering as much as he can. So I don't think that's what's going on, but it's just something that came across my mind when Kyle said, oh, like Mitch hasn't approached me about.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Gameplay.
Yeah, I mean, they have a big tribe. They haven't lost anyone yet. So maybe Mitch is just making his, truly just like making his way around the tribe and trying to form connections. And that was just one of the moments that they decided to show us of him doing that. Yeah, because the only tribe that have lost people so far is...
I know. It's always so sad when there's like a tribe that just loses every time before a merge. I'm just like, man, that sucks.
I know. And you want to root for them as the underdogs, but, you know, at the same time, they're down people. They're having to do all of these intense challenges. It's like they're not exactly set up for success either.
Yeah. Yeah. But there was this one moment where, yeah, I'm wondering like how it is. Cause like when Mitch is having his like in the moment interviews, like I'm wondering how the editors are handling that because I haven't really heard him stutter during his in the moments as much. So yeah, I mean, I've actually been messaging Mitch on Instagram and so he wants to come on the podcast.
No, really? Yeah.
So, oh my God.
Yeah. So Mitch, if you're listening, can't wait to have you on. I know there's hoops I have to go through Survivor's press team or whatever. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to have him on before the season finale.
Yeah.
But yeah, but that's coming. So I'll be able to ask him questions and I'll also be able to have people ask, like put their questions out so we could ask him what others are on their mind. So yeah.
Oh my gosh, that is incredible.
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
I can't wait for that.
What also was really awesome is right, just going back to episode two, after Mitch had that moment with Jeff, he like dominated the challenge. That mm-hmm. was so cool. Like, Elliot, I'm not sure if you saw that, but like after Mitch had that exchange, Mitch like literally won the challenge for his team. And so that was just like a great tie to like such a great episode for him.
Hell yeah. Team Mitch.
Yeah. He swept the floor, left no crumbs. It was amazing. I bet his confidence was up too after, you know, feeling the support from the tribe, and he just got in there and he dominated. It was amazing.
So at this point after episode three, how many days have passed in real time that they've been on the island?
Good question. I
think it's like 1 to 2 days. Yeah, each episode.
It's not that much.
Yeah, because I remember him saying or someone saying last night's episode that it was like day 8, day 7. But I was also just, you know, thinking about that in terms of like Mitch, you know, maybe over the past eight days being able to open up to, you know, people slowly, and like over the course of 8 days, like how comfortable you get with someone and are able to open up a bit more in terms of him like talking game with the other guy that is in the tribe.
I mean, they're spending every moment together. So, you know, I'm sure there's so much footage that we don't get to see. And I'm so excited to like hear Mitch's side and what that experience was like and the relationship forming. And but yeah, there's so much that we don't get to see behind the scenes of how they're, you know, they're all sleeping in the same space. They're, you know, they have to work together to, for their shelter, to make food, to get water, to, you know, do everything to survive.
But yeah, let's go over the tribes and like what's going on. Just to get people caught up. So we have the purple tribe with Star, and we were talking about Ava and Bianca and Thomas. There's a lot of people, so it's hard to keep track of names, but the purple tribe, what's the name of them again?
Loggy.
Yeah.
Loggy.
Okay. So yes, the Loggy tribe. So the first scene we kind of get is they're like exhausted, like they're just not feeling it. And so Joe builds this bonfire, I guess, to help get people's spirits up. And it seems like there's like three alliances forming, and Star's kind of like the outsider. And then there's Ava, who also has amazing representation. She talks about her autism and that her social cues are sometimes not the best. And so it's really interesting to see how she navigates it and how open she is about talking about like her autism and how that's impacting the game. So Ava tries to make a connection with Star and it kind of backfires, which I'm just like, no, like Ava, she's trying so hard. And then of course Star goes to Bianca and Thomas and kind of blows up Ava's game. And yeah, so that's kind of how the Purple Tribe is doing. Do you guys, what are your thoughts about their tribe?
I mean, they're definitely probably the strongest tribe, at least definitely physically. And I think it's really good that Joe has Ava's back because she wouldn't have known that Star was lying to her otherwise.
Right.
So if she doesn't have those alliances to kind of help her with the social aspect of certain things. But I know that was like, oh, that was tough to see when she was talking to Star and Star was lying and, you know, went to Thomas and Bianca and it looks like they're going to try and get her in the next one. So let's hope that she can pull through.
Yeah, because I thought like I could see like Star and Ava, like they would be an interesting alliance. Like I think they would be able to like get far if they kind of were to see eye to eye more.
Don't you wish sometimes you could just jump through the screen and be like, hey,
yes,
stop it. You'd be great together.
Okay, so we have so the purple tribe is the strongest. And then we have Vula, which is, you know, the struggling tribe. And I'm always wondering, I'm like, do the producers make a tribe like that on purpose, knowing that they're just gonna fail. Like, I'm wondering, like, if that ever goes through their strategy, because there's been so many episodes where there's like a struggling team like that. So anyway, but
that's an interesting thought.
Yeah, but we have Mary who thinks she's on the bottom, and she is. And Mary responds by trying to find the hidden immunity idol, and you know, and then her and Sai are butting heads. And so, yeah, that was just hilarious seeing Mary just running around and Sai just like following her. And I heard on another podcast that where their tribe is, like when their camp, it's like the one that's it's not easy to hide, like you're very exposed, so there's just like there's no way that Mary can hide in that, so it's like Sai's just like, I see you, like everywhere. So I just thought that was hilarious.
So funny.
Yes. And then we have Seba, which is our Mitch tribe. And so we see Mitch wanting to work with Charity, who I think I could see them going far together.
Yeah.
And then we, as we said, before, Mitch starts to open up with Kyle. And it was really awesome to see Kyle actually warming up to Mitch. So I'm hoping that Mitch, Kyle, and a Charity can just kind of like work together and go far, because I just see them as like a really great team.
Totally. I'm concerned though, all of these relationships that are forming, and then it looks like in their next episode they're dropping buffs, so everything could change too. But yeah. You know, in the meantime, it's good to see that, like they could potentially, the three of them, be an alliance. So we'll see what happens.
And Elliot, do you know what drop your buffs means?
I have no idea.
Oh yeah. I have no idea. Basically it means, so the Bula tribe, they don't have as many people in their tribe anymore, so they can't do those group challenges like that, so they're all taking off their buffs, and they're going to like reorganize the tribes to like even it out.
Oh, so someone will be joining the Vula tribe who's not already on it.
No, yeah, so go ahead. Oh Mike. Yeah, so they're all gonna shuffle. It's gonna be random, so they're all gonna like shuffle around, so they're gonna mix up.
Oh
yeah,
wow. So everyone, okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they all, I think they all like reach in and grab a color. And then when they reveal, then they'll find out which tribe they're going to be on.
Wow. Okay. That'll be very, very interesting. And that's happening next episode?
Yeah. It looks like it from the preview.
Ooh,
yes.
The drama.
Yes. But yeah, let's talk about the immunity challenge and the tribal council, which we have to get into. So, Vula, no, the purple tribe, Logi and Seba win, and Vula goes back to tribal council. And then there's three people who go on a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And Bianca on Logi ends up losing her vote. And then on Seba, I forgot her name, but she wins an extra vote. And then Vula, the pizza guy, what's his name?
Justin.
Justin loses his vote, but does not tell anyone, which we'll get into. That
yeah.
really does not bode well for him. But I just wanted to shout out that Mitch, so the immunity to challenge was like blindfolding. There was a person that was yelling out instructions, and then there were people who had a blindfold that kind of had to kind of move around an obstacle course. And Mitch was blindfolded during the puzzle part, and he ended up like doing well in that part and helping his tribe win. So that was great to see another Mitch moment in that way.
Yeah, and they were kind of a little bit behind, and then when Mitch came in for the puzzle, was moving so fast. It was so cool. And all of a sudden I think they won that challenge, right?
Yeah.
The first to win.
Oh, wait, no. I think they were the second.
Oh, well, yeah, like either way, Mitch came in and just totally dominated that puzzle. It was so awesome. Like he's a very strong competitor.
Yeah,
I hope Mitch knows that we are his number one fans.
I read, is it true that outside of the show he's a PE teacher?
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe like he has like a natural sense of, you know, competition and like sports, and he's just got that spirit.
So true. That's a great point.
That immunity challenge, which I loved. I always loved those challenges where they're kind of like bumping into stuff. I always laugh when they're but it was all about communication and listening, and Mitch was such a good listener, I think, in that moment. So yes, we should all just learn from Mitch to all be better listeners.
I'm just kidding.
Okay,
let's talk about tribal.
Yes, let's talk about tribal. Okay, so
what a doozy.
Yeah, so Caitlin, what made this tribal so wild?
Well, oh my god, what made it wild? I think all of the events leading up to it too just set it up to be so, like, as crazy as it was, because Justin losing his vote, that meant that if Mary did her shot in the dark, only two people are voting, Say and Cedric. And so if they both don't vote for the same person, it's going to tie. And so with Justin and Cedric's relationship, and Cedric trusting Justin so much going into that, I think that Cedric's like complete blind trust in Justin made things really weird, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And then Mary being safe. I don't know about you guys, but I jumped up and I screamed when she was safe, because how incredibly lucky was that she's safe, because she would have gone home 100%.
Oh yeah, 100%. And I was just rooting for her so bad. I was like, please be safe. And then when she was here, I was like, oh my god. And Kyle's like, what? Like, he wasn't paying attention.
Kyle, you don't get it. Mary's safe. It's amazing.
And her like facial expressions throughout the whole thing was just amazing.
She's awesome. She's so awesome.
I know, she was in the background when they were talking. She's like.
Yeah, and I think that, so Mary was safe. She lost her vote. Justin and Say both, so, oh my gosh. Okay, so Say, who did Say voted for Justin? And then Cedric voted for Say. And so, and I think that, I don't know about you guys, but I wonder if Cedric thought that Say lost her vote.
Yeah, because they all seem confused. Justin. Yeah.
Yeah. So Julie brought up a really good point where you could tell, I mean, like, you know, this is making an assumption, of course, but you could tell from the handwriting that there wasn't there like a heart where the dot of the I should have been? So like if Cedric was paying attention, I think he could probably assume that it was Say that was writing the vote and not Justin. Because of the handwriting, assuming Justin would not, you put a heart where the your dot of the I is. I don't know.
That's true.
But I was like, that's a good point.
Yeah, the first vote, well, Cedric didn't know that Justin lost his vote, so they were expecting three votes, and they were all expecting it to be Mary. And then when they had to re-vote, I think Cedric maybe still thought that Justin had his vote. and then realized, oh, Justin lied, but still, like, was still working with him and still wanted him to stay. So that's why Cedric, I think, knew going into it a second time that they were revoting that Justin didn't have his vote, but voted for Say anyway, because he's like, well, I already, you know, Say already hates me anyway, so I might as well vote for her again and go into a deadlock, which was, that was historic in itself. That hadn't happened in a long time. And the fact that it all came down to just Cedric making the decision and Say, like, not being able to vote, and it was just Cedric and all the pressure that was on Cedric to make that decision.
So
wild.
Why was that again? Why was it that it came down to him and not him and Say, like, to talk it out and, like, ultimately make the vote?
Yeah. I'm gonna just read this one thing right here, and I think this will help clear it up for us. So Jeff reads the votes, and there's one for Justin and one for Say. Jeff tells us that in the event of a tie, the tied voters can't vote. But in this instance, since Justin has no vote, then Say gets to vote, but she can only vote for Justin. That means Cedric is essentially deciding if he wants to send Justin home with Say or force another tie. And so Say, like, basically it all came down to Cedric because Say's vote didn't count anymore because they were in a tie situation.
What did you guys think about Cedric's decision? I love that Say was like, she like totally was like fighting for herself. Like, I was proud of her in that moment, honestly. And I was just like, I was like, Justin, you are like, you need to like fight for yourself more. But I thought that was a smart move on Cedric, but I'm wondering what you guys think.
Yeah. I agree. I feel like if Justin just wasn't saying anything, he's like, I know, like, you could just tell he's like, I know that I lied to you, so I'm just going to be silent. But yeah, Say was like advocating for herself. And then back to what it is that you were saying earlier about the editing, like editing out Say going into Mary's pocket and there like potentially being more animosity than we're made to believe. I think you could tell that too, because Cedric was like pleading between them. He's like, if I keep you on, like, this has to stop. What's going on? So I was like, oh, interesting. Cause like from the way that he was talking, you were like, oh, maybe it's worse than we're seeing.
But I think that Justin, you're right, Maya, like Justin totally gave up. Like, I think even when he lost his vote in the challenge, which, okay, like, it wasn't even, it was just all up to chance. It wasn't like anything that, you know, he had to figure out a puzzle or do any of these things. It was totally up to chance. And I think he just lost his will to keep playing the game because he felt so disappointed that he lost his vote. And he just withdrew. He didn't try to fight. And if we know one thing about Say, she is a fighter in this game. She hit the ground running with Survivor. She was playing this game the moment she stepped foot on the sand. And I didn't expect anything less that she would, you know, try and stay in the game. So, you know, it was a bummer that Cedric had to send Justin home because I know how close they were. But at the same time, Say basically proved that she wants to be here way more than he does.
Yeah.
Right. Sorry, people.
Yeah, and I think Justin was even more discouraged and like he's retreated even more after he realized that people were going to find out that he was lying too. So I think at that point he was just like, okay, I'm doomed. Like I think he was like trying to, like, a lot was going in his mind throughout the whole thing. So I think he was like not fully present in that moment. But yeah, wild moment for sure.
One of my favorite parts from that scene though was when Justin realized that Cedric was going to send him home, but you could tell that they had like a bond that, you know, sort of like superseded that. And Justin was like, see you at Luigi's next month.
Yeah, I love that.
Good, yeah. You know, good pizza call out.
He had to.
Yeah.
That's his brand.
Well, yeah, that was a wild season. I mean, episode, and there's, and I definitely want to do more recaps like this. Go Mitch. We're all rooting for you.
Go Mitch.
And yeah, thank you, Caitlin and Elliot, for joining me on this unprecedented episode of Proud Stunner. I'm just kidding.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you. And I might have to watch the rest of the season now. So, you know, thank you for having me. And this was amazing.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.